Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let us read responsively from verses 16 to 33. Verse 16 to verse 33, responsively. I shall begin with verse 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Of the Jews, 5 times receive I 40 stripes, save one. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascenes, or Damascus, right, with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. Down by the wall and escape his hands. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. Today, we are going to continue with Paul's defense of his apostleship. This will be part two of his defense in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Right, before that, we saw how Paul says, and Paul told the Corinthian Christians, well, bear with me for that I may appear foolish for a while. And why foolish? Because usually he does not engage in such kind of talk. Right, Paul is usually a person to bear suffering and to bear it quietly, but due to the unique circumstances whereby there are false apostles, he is forced to defend himself, or rather to defend the office, or his calling into the office. And the reason why he did so was because he was very afraid that the Corinthian Christians are led away, or are already being led away by the deceptive or by the deceit, right, promoted by all these false teachers. Just like how Satan beguiled Eve, well, they have also led them away. And so he began his defense. And how did he defend himself, right, in the previous lesson? Well, we saw how he stated that when he went about sharing the gospel, he do so free of charge, right, and he humbled himself before them. And in fact, what he did was this. Okay, what he did was, when he went about the other churches, went about the Corinthian congregation, he accepted not a single cent as he labored among them. Where did he get his support? In fact, the poor Macedonian churches supported him. Even though we know that the poor Macedonian churches, they were struggling even to meet their ends meet. But they were not only giving with respect to the poor saints of Jerusalem, but respect to this laborer, right, the Apostle Paul. They were also thankful enough to God, right, to make sure he has enough to carry on God's work. And that is good, right? A good testimony for the Macedonian churches, but a very bad testimony for the Corinthian church. Because the Corinthian church was supposed to be one who is rich, right? The region of Achaia was a very prosperous region. And so they should very well be able to afford to pay the wages of Paul as they labor among them. Yes, the Corinthian church. But they did not. And even if they did, Paul refused to take up any offer of wages from them. Why? Because of the way the false teachers operate. Right? When false teachers, they are in religion, you'll find that many of them are in religion for power, for authority, and very often also for the pocket, for money. And so when Paul refused to take a single cent, they are faced with a dilemma. They wanted to accuse the Apostle Paul. But in order for their accusation to stick in the long run, right, they would have to follow the Apostle Paul's example of laboring without accepting a single cent. But then they are in ministry because of money. How can they survive without a single cent? Because for them, they have no concept that, you know, that as you labor among the Lord, it is the Lord who provides, the Lord who looks after his servants. Well, they are not true servants of God in the first place. So they have no such notion or understanding in them. And so in the long run, well, they are going to be caught. They will not be able to survive without taking any money. And we later on will know that these people indeed are people who are after money, right, based upon Paul's words, right, later on in this chapter. Okay? And the Apostle Paul says, look, and so therefore I will do this, I will continue to abide by this same principle. As I labor among you, I will not accept any money from you, any support from you. Why? Right, so that these people who want to have an occasion to accuse me, they have nothing to accuse me of. Right. And please understand that you should not regard it strange that there should be false apostles among you. Right? They call themselves super apostles, but they are actually false. And they are people who are very deceitful, people who are out to cheat. Why? Because you know Satan himself. Satan himself is the master of deceit. Right? Anytime he wants, he can transform himself into an angel of light. And then appears to be very kind, very helpful, but actually is out to destroy you. Well, that is Satan for you. Now, if that is Satan, what makes us think that, you know, those who are his ministers, those who are his servants, those who do his bidding, they will not do so. They will definitely do so. Now, if they want to destroy a church, the way to do it is to really appear like a normal church member, right? You won't go about and then come into a congregation and say, oh, I'm here to destroy you, I'm here to exploit you. Nobody will do that. And so what these workers will do will be, they will come in, they will behave or appear as far as possible very normal, and they will appear like ministers of righteousness when they are actually false ministers. You know, but have no fear, right? Even though such people, they enter in, you know that at the end of the times, they will surely be judged. But in the meantime, Corinthian Christians, please do not be naive to fall into their traps. Please do not be naive. And so when you talk about these false ministers, as shared at the end of the last lesson, well, where do we find all these false ministers, false teachers, right? The best place to find? Well, usually the best place to find them would be the the Bible College, because in order to convince people that they are certified to be able to preach and to teach, well, of course, they have to enter the Bible College, right? And then they will try to get their string of degrees. You know, some of them even will get their PhDs, and in certain countries, double PhDs, triple PhD, right? I happen to know a double PhD, but that one is so far ministry has been faithful. But there are certain countries where it is a culture to collect all these kind of degrees. And then one say, wow, double PhD must be very good. But then when they write, when they teach, even though it sounds very peaceful in terms of their teaching, very very kind outwardly, but when you examine the teaching very carefully and you examine what they are doing, you're actually full of wickedness. Just like, for example, in America, you have the young people heard this yesterday, you have this group of people. Now, we, by faith, we accept God to be somebody who knows everything, right? He's omniscient. And we know that the Lord knows our hearts, knows our very thoughts. But there is this group of professors in America, and they write journals about this, who believe in something called open theism. Now, what is open theism? Right? Open theism, the word open here, talks about the future being open. In other words, the Lord does not know what you are thinking or what is in your heart. Only when this is expressed out in action, then He knows, and then He will react according to it. I mean, this is a denial of the omnipresence of God, right? But of course, these false teachers are very clever. They know how to twist and turn and then try and say, oh, no, this is the Lord is still omnipresent, you know, the Lord is still omnipotent. They twist and turn, they write all their journals, articles, you know, to defend. And then they sit in high places, and then they are pastoring churches. But actually very, very wicked, very evil. And very often when you look in the lives of some of these people who write all these journals, very often, in fact, not very often, almost 100% I will find, right, in their life surely got some kind of problem, either adultery or stealing or fraud. Somehow they are still sitting in high places because they have the backing of very powerful men, some of them. And then the churches here, well, double PhD, so must be good. But actually come in and teach all this kind of poison, which was exactly what these super apostles were doing in the time of the Corinthian church. So actually, anything that you see today, actually, please understand, yeah, they may appear new, but it's actually not new, right? They may change a bit here, a bit there, right? A bit like the design of handphone. Handphone, sometimes they try and sell to you, they increase a little bit of the processor power, a little bit here, a little bit there. Last time it's round edges, now it's flat edge or whatever. Then after a while, when everybody do flat edge, then a person try and make a comeback or retro, back to round edge and whatever, and then there's twist and turn about, in the end, it's still a phone. Right, so same. Right. Just new expressions of the same thing. So be very careful. So if somebody, of course in the PP church, usually the people who we have, and we take in, they are usually trained in the Far Eastern Bible College, because the doctrine of the Far Eastern Bible College is aligned with the church. So please be very careful. Now, of course, any person come from FEBC, please don't go to the extreme and say, oh, as long as the person is not proven, I am very rude to this person. No, you shouldn't be rude to anyone. We should be very kind and very polite. But at the same time, just because a person comes from FEBC, does not necessarily mean that the person is faithful and is true. We have instances of students who, you know, there was this one student who was, while he was in FEBC, he was very, very brilliant. And even in FEBC, he was quite faithful in all his duties. But somehow the Mrs. Toh never liked him. And then when asked to explain why she does not like him, she said, I just do not like him. And so passed. And then people say, well, how can you not like the person without any evidence? Which is true. But then later on, when the person went back to his country, everything that he professed to hold on in FEBC, he reversed. And in the end, he went to join hands with the ecumenical movement. Straight. He himself openly proclaimed all religions are the same. And he holds a cum laude degree, right, with honors from FEBC. But what is very sad, and it's quite sad with regards to this person, was that he did not live long. He died after just a few years in ministry. But you have such people. And so be very careful. Sometimes there's this saying that the best and the worst are found in FEBC. In some sense, it's quite true. So be very careful. Don't be naive. Always make sure that you be very discerning. And oftentimes you will know a person by over some time of testing by the person's works, right, whether or not he is true or not. So please understand this, okay? And so Paul is going to carry on. That's where we stopped the last time. And then in verse 16, he says, I say again. Now, what does he mean by "as I say again"? Well, you realize that Paul is again very careful because he's going to continue in his defense. And he realized that, you know, and to him, he's very uncomfortable saying all these things about himself. As you have seen in the rest of the epistles written by Paul, you never see such a lengthy treatment on the things that he do. Right? He will always focus on glorifying God. He will talk about doctrine. He will talk about practical applications. But concerning what he does, he usually keep it to a minimal. Unless when necessary, he will not talk about it. But only in here, in 2 Corinthians, do you see such a detailed account of what he did. And so, therefore, he is, you know, it is not something that he likes to do, but something he finds it very necessary, and so therefore he has to say, I say again, let no man think of me as a fool. Don't think of me as a fool, even though I engage myself in a little bit of this boasting. But this boasting is not really a boasting, but this boasting is boasting in a sense like how these false apostles, they will stake all their credentials in order to boast. So now Paul is going to follow, in a sense, the same way by talking about his credentials as an apostle in order to highlight the difference between him as well as the false apostles. And that is something that he was forced to do because of the situation in the Corinthian church. Because if he did not do it, you know, if the apostle Paul could not prove his credentials or his credentials are not true, you know what it means? It not only means that the Corinthian church will die, it means that all the epistles that we have here in the Bible written by the apostle Paul, we have to reject. We have to reject because he's not true. And so therefore, he had to do it. And so he says, down here, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me. Right? That I may boast myself a little. So please, once again, bear with me my little bit of folly for a little while. Okay, just bear with me a little longer. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly. So not after the Lord. Uh-oh. So does that mean that whatever Paul says down here is not inspired? Hong Kong, what do you think? It's not after the Lord, no, it says down here. In this instance, not after the Lord. So all the words in 2 Corinthians 11 from verse 6, 17 onwards, we reject. Or not after the spirit of the Lord, humility. So down here, when Paul writes all these things, he's boasting. He's boasting very proudly. Foolishly, really. So these are foolish words. So foolish words, what for? We accept. So are these words inspired? They are inspired words. So they are inspired foolish words. It's inspired foolish words. You follow this route, you die. Because that is how some of the scholars, they will argue, and they use it to reject the inspiration of this passage, right, from this point onwards. Right, so you must be very careful in understanding what we mean by not after the Lord. Okay? So I ask your brother to help you. Your brother, do they sit exactly on the opposite side? So maybe his explanation is 180 degrees different. Okay. So how to understand this? Right. This is not an easy verse to understand, because if we understand wrongly, it will lead to these difficulties. Basically, what the Apostle Paul is trying to say here is, if you study the life of the Lord, you never see the Lord putting out such a defense of his credentials before in such a manner. So if you say that nobody has done, if the Lord Jesus Christ has not done this before in his earthly life, you are correct. But that does not mean that what the Apostle Paul done is wrong, right? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he has his particular mission, he needs to fulfill it, and that particular mission is simply accept whatever the people are saying, in the sense that, you know, they put all sorts of accusations. Of course, sometimes he exposed them, but he will keep very quiet about himself, because actually, whatever he speak about in his message and whatever he, in terms of his works and his miracles, they reveal about a lot about him already. So he go through his mission, and after that he went to the cross humbly, and then he died, shedding his precious blood, and then was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. That was his mission. But the Apostle Paul's mission is very different. Besides going about the other churches, founding Gentile churches, he is also supposed to set teaching in place, right? He writes all these epistles, which is the inspired word of God, and then he is supposed to set a pattern. And so therefore, if this apostolic pattern is rejected, then all the churches will be in trouble. And so therefore, yes, even though it's not after the manner of the Lord, yes, the Lord did not do this during his earthly ministry, please do not understand what the Apostle Paul doing here as something that is foolish, even though he used the word foolish, okay? When he used the word foolish, he's just trying to say that in this is something that I will not usually do. It's only in this particular context in which I'm doing. Right? Even though it is something that is not done by the Lord, yet in this particular instance, because of the necessity of the situation, so please accept it as it were, right? So therefore you say, but as it were foolishly. Not that it's something that is foolish, okay? Understand, as it were foolishly. In this confidence of boasting. But what he boasts, so-called boast, inverted comma, about, is very different from what the false teachers will boast. Because in the end, you realize that what he will boast, as found in verse 30, right? He boasts in his own weakness. He boasts in his own infirmities. Because when he says that, I am weak, what actually happened is that the conclusion must be, why this weak man, okay, can do so many things? The only conclusion must be, it's solely by the grace and the power of God that all these things are achieved. God is magnified. Okay, so understand all these things, okay? So, I speak it not after the Lord, not after the manner of the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Anyway, you should receive me, isn't it? Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. In other words, anyway, when you entertain all these false teachers, and then when they boast about their credentials, you entertain them, right? You hear them, right? And then you love it very much when they boast about their credentials. Then surely, with regards for me, even though it's just a little while, you will bear with me, isn't it? Well, a touch of irony down here. Now, of course, when Paul says, I boast after the flesh, please understand that he is not boasting as in really trying to exalt himself. All he's going to do is state what he has experienced in the flesh, okay? So understand this. So please do not use what Paul has done as a justification of, you know, going about everywhere. You know, let's say if some of you down here are called to be leaders or called to the full-time ministry or whatever, even on your own, right? Please do not use this as a justification to go about telling people what, you know, about boasting about your service. You know, well, you know, I did this for the Lord. Where do you learn this? What is your pattern? You see, the Apostle Paul, basically 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay, no, it's not to be done like this, okay? 2 Corinthians 11, please understand, it is written in very extreme circumstances, whereby it is necessary to state down the facts very clearly what the Apostle Paul has done. Okay, so understand this. Don't go about talking about the achievements. Of course, there may be certain times where this is valid. For example, if a person really, in terms of his office, let's say, is under attack very strongly, and then the integrity is questioned so much so that the person cannot function, sometimes it is very important for him to write down everything that he has done, just like the Apostle Paul. Right? Because otherwise people would not know. It's necessary. It's just like under a trial, right? You go under a trial, you have to present all this evidence. But when a person is forced to do this, it's usually in very extreme circumstances, and you don't wish for that to happen. Of course, there can be other circumstances whereby a church may also talk about its achievements. For example, let's say a church has an anniversary. Let's say, remember the BP, it has its 60th anniversary, right? The BP Church 60th anniversary, it publishes a book, right? And then inside the book, it talks about the achievements of the BP Church. Now, understand that when all these things are done, it is not meant to boast, wow, you see, the BP Church has achieved so much. Circumstances are very different. Right? In those days, it is an anniversary. When these things are written, it is not meant to exhort men. It is meant for people to recount how the Lord has been so good to the Bible Presbyterian churches and then to rejoice in the Lord. Okay? Another time where a person may talk about things which he has done, maybe in terms of testimony. Sometimes in testimony, it is important to share exactly what has happened, right? So that the Lord may be praised. But then the way we share, like the manner in which we share, you see, Paul, even after you read through this whole epistle, you realize that the way he shared, even about his suffering, was very humble. Right? The language, the tone. Because every time he would direct people to the Lord. So when it comes to testimony, yes, sometimes all these facts must be shared so that people can understand exactly what has happened. But the way in which we share our testimony, we always try and point the glory back to God again. And so therefore, testimony is a time where it's actually very dangerous. Because if we are not careful, we can actually exalt ourselves rather than God. So we must be very, very careful. But I hope that when this is shared, it doesn't mean that people are so scared until they come and share testimony. Okay? When the Lord has blessed you, in fact, you should. But when we share, we must make sure all glory goes to Him. Okay? And so far in Tabernacle, from what I hear, at least from my short time here, okay? I so far have not heard of any so far which is very, very boastful. So when this is shared, please do not misunderstand that any of you here are sharing it wrongly, okay? It's just that be very careful. It can easily happen. Don't fall into that trap. Because we have ever heard before in other BP churches, people come up and then they speak for 15 minutes, and all 15 minutes is talking about all the achievements that he has done throughout his entire 15, 20, 25 years of service. Well, after that, people feel like asking him to get down because this prayer meeting, because in some churches, they have prayer meetings. Before prayer meetings, they have a time of testimony because churches are big. So they come forward, they share all these testimonies. Or in their group, they also share testimonies. They bring into group, several groups, each group taken by a session group leader, they do sharing. Because Tabernacle is small, so we can go one round. All these churches, they are big churches, so they go one round, I don't think you need to go home. Right, so they break up into groups and then they do their sharing. And then you stand and then they're supposed to let everybody share, right? But they share and then they share all the achievements. Please don't. And there's even one person who ever stood up before and then say, why I do all this? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 11 taught me to do so. Oh, really wrong application of the scriptures. So understand this very well, okay? So the Paul says down here, okay, the only reason I'm doing it is because these false teachers are doing it and then you are listening to them. So therefore, I'm going to put my credentials together with their credentials. And then you judge. You suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. Well, you yourself think that you are very wise. But actually, are you very wise? Not really, isn't it? Because you suffer all these false teachers to come in because they on appearance appear very nice, but in fact they come you and then bring you into bondage, bring you into slavery, to enslave you, right, literally. But what exactly are the Corinthian Christians enslaved by? Now, nothing much is talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 or elsewhere in 2 Corinthians. So we can only make a good educated guess about this. Okay? Now some says that this enslavement refers to later how these false teachers will devour them, will take them, will exhort themselves and then to smite them on the face. Okay, so, well, this is one possible interpretation. Another one says this enslaving has to do with the same kind of enslavement as the Galatian Christians, whereby they actually preach another gospel and then they listen. Why? Because before that, remember in verse 4 of the same chapter, Paul talks about how they receive all these false teachers which preach another Jesus, which are of another spirit, which preach another gospel. Right? Do you see all this there? Right. So so Paul is probably saying also that all these people are enslaving them to another gospel. And we know that this also may be the case. Why? Because if you look at the identity of these super apostles, you look at verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. It will appear that these super apostles, they were also Jews. Okay, they were also Jews. And so therefore, they use it to get themselves some kind of footing in the Corinthian church. No, you see, Paul is a Jew. I am also a Jew. You see, so listen to me. I'm the part of the people who originally had the oracles of God. And then they also know that, you know, people have a little bit of knowledge. So you want to come in, you need to fool them, right? You need to fool them. These people, they know that the apostles, they must be of the Jews. They knew. Every single apostle that we have in the Bible, they are Jews. Right? Jews in the sense that they are from Israel. They are Israelites. And so in order to fool them, they also say, oh, they are Jews. I'm also a Jew, so I'm qualified to be an apostle. Use that little bit of knowledge of the people, though the people, they have that little bit of knowledge, but not the full knowledge. So they use that little bit of knowledge to trick them to go in. And so we also learn from this very example. If our knowledge of the Bible is no good, we know just a little bit. Oh, for example, the credentials of the apostles. What are the credentials of the apostles? Right, based on the Holy Scriptures, we know that the credential of apostles is, number one, right, they must have been personally chosen by Christ. Christ, they must have seen the resurrected Christ. Right? They must have seen the resurrected Christ. And then number two, of course, the Lord must have personally ordained them to say that, oh, you are apostle, and then they will be authenticated by the signs belonging to an apostle. Now, we know that the apostle Paul, did he see the resurrected Christ? Yes, personally, face to face. Okay, the rest of the apostles, of course, they were with him throughout their earthly journey. Right? Apostle Paul, they seen Christ face to face where? During the road to Damascus. Right? Face to face. All these teachers though, did they really see the resurrected Christ face to face? Question mark. We don't know. But they make use of the fact we are Jews in order to go in. So you see, just a little bit of knowledge, but not full. You can easily let all this kind of error creep in. So please study the Bible, know doctrines very well, so that you can be discerning. Right? Because a little lack of knowledge can very easily result in all this kind of falsehood coming in. So understand this, okay? Carry on. What did they do? They bring them into enslavement, right, with respect to the Galatian heresy, as to circumcision. Right? You need circumcision in order to be saved. Right, that is another possible interpretation, which I tend to this interpretation. Okay, then also, what do they do? If a man devour you, if a man take of you, and these terms have this understanding of exploitation. In other words, they are very different from Paul. Paul went into the congregation, instead of exploiting them, Paul even allowed them to get him to work without cost. In some sense, Paul was bullied, isn't it? I mean, where got people go in the midst of congregation and then after that work for a while and then in the end the congregation never pay him or support him and then he still continue to work. But that is the heart of everyone, of anyone who is called into the full-time ministry. Now, you call into the full-time ministry if you say you are truly called. Okay? Please make sure you must be prepared to work even without any cent given to you. That is the difference. Okay, of course, the people ought not to have done that to him. Right? That, God willing, next time in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, we will also learn. But here, they have allowed the Apostle Paul to go on without any support. They bully him, and they expect the Apostle Paul to work among them, and then be good to them, and yet at the end, they still attack him. True? Well, that is Apostle Paul. But with these false teachers, they allow these false teachers to come in to trick them and also to devour them, to exploit them, to extract money from them. They allow them to do that. How different can the false teachers be from the Apostle Paul? Very, very different. And yet, sad to say, the Corinthian church, because of the lack of spiritual knowledge and discernment, allowed these people to do so. Just take, when all these resources, strictly speaking, could have been given to the Apostle Paul in support of good work. But they allow all these people to devour them. And the word devour is a very strong word, almost like a fierce animal coming in to tear an animal apart. How silly, isn't it? But they allow them to do it. They allow these men to take them, and they allow these people to exhort themselves in the congregation. Among the congregation. In other words, they allow them to boast about their own achievements about themselves, and they allow these people to gather a cult following. Now, we are not saying that if there are leaders, you shouldn't follow them. Right? If they are following Christ, God's word says, right, just like the Apostle Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. But these people, they lead the congregation to follow them and them alone. Right? To follow them. Personalities. They allow them to have a foothold. Even to the fact that this man smite you on the face, also never mind. Now, some people say that this is too extreme. Right? This smiting on the face. How can a person be so silly to let a person smite on the face? And so they say that this refers to strong language. Strong abusive language. Now, are there people who can be so powerful that even when they use strong abusive language, they abuse people with their words, and people still follow them? Now, if you go and study the cults, okay, you study the cults, and then you study, for example, certain books. Like there's this book called Kingdom of the Cults by, I suddenly forget the author. Anybody here took cults under Raymond Kwa? Richard, have you taken? Yes, what's that book he often cites? I forgot, it's called Kingdom of the Cults. Okay, now in this book, Kingdom of the Cults, you will realize that some of these cult leaders, they're actually very fierce, no? They actually abuse their members with very strong words, no? But after being scolded and abused with words, until cry and whatever, these people, they still follow. Can there be people that are like this? Can. And these Corinthian Christians, they follow. Right? No, I ever heard of one person whereby, one leader, in fact, he called himself Reformed, but actually is very much almost like a cult leader. Can even ask the member to, today I want to read newspaper. Can you go out and buy for me a newspaper? And the member went to buy newspaper, no. You know, the only time when somebody has asked me to do that was in the army camp, The army camp, and then there was this duty CSM. Was given a pager. And suddenly a pager, beep, 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 beep. So I call the ops center. Then this CSM say, can you go out of the camp to the nearby shopping area and buy for me the new paper? How will you react when you do that? Wow, that one, because of standard operating procedure, because it's there black and white. So I told, sorry, I cannot. Because standard operating procedure say I cannot leave the camp unless it's for emergency. I don't want to go out and then after that emergency and then I'll be caught outside. So sorry, I cannot go out, so I will just stay. I think he was very angry. But this is actually abuse. You cannot abuse the duty person to do that, because the duty person is supposed to be there for good reason. So you stand up for righteousness. You just stand. Then I was shocked later on to hear that in Reform circles, okay? So I used the word reform, so not BP. Reform circle, you can have somebody who can tell the congregation member, please go out and just buy, because I want to read newspaper now. I mean, firstly, you yourself can go and buy. Right? Buy for him and deliver to his home, Imagine, the person must leave his or her house, go out there, go and buy the newspaper, and then travel all the way to the person's house to deliver the new paper. I mean, firstly, he can go down and buy, right? And then secondly, even if he doesn't want to go down and buy, very lazy, okay, at least maybe you ask, if the person have a child or whatever, maybe ask your child help you, daddy, today we want to buy newspaper, ask daddy to go and buy, or you ask your wife to help you. Why you go and ask a congregational member to travel, and the congregational member that is not even living nearby? Buy newspaper to deliver. So there are people like that. Okay, understand this. Moreover, is it extreme to believe that there can be leaders who will smite people on the face? Now remember, in those days, that what kind of religious leaders we have. Religious leaders in those days can be very powerful. Remember when the Apostle Paul came face to face with the high priest smite him on the face, right, in the book of Acts. So very common for religious leaders to have so much power, until when they build power so strong that they can even beat people a little bit, and then yes, it's still no problem. This is something unthinkable today. Today, if you come into let's say Tabernacle, one of the leaders smite you, you can report to the police, and I think you should report. It shouldn't be the case. Bad. You cannot just smack a person like that. But in those days, the religious leaders smite you, you go to the courts of law, if the person say, oh, according to my religion, it's okay, the person can go scot-free. So can there be people like that? Can. And so therefore, could this be literal also? Very possible. And they let such people come in, and then they come in, and then they abuse the congregation, and then in the end, they still follow them, very happy. But Corinthian Christians, for you. Now, you come here, and then you read all this, and then you think, wow, so silly, all these people, right? Always remember, he who thinketh he is strong, take heed lest he fall. He can, if we are not walking close to the Holy Scriptures, we let our guards down, this can easily happen. So be very careful, okay? Be very, very careful. They come in. They speak all these things, they slap him, and they bear with them. So the Apostle Paul says, since you can bear with all these things, even now, if I talk a little bit about my credentials, you will bear with me, right? That's the deep irony of all these things. So now they are forced to hear him. Okay? So what will he say? I speak as concerning reproach, as though we have been weak. So you see, I'm going to talk about my credentials. And my credentials are what? My credentials are, actually, I am weak. I'm nobody, in other words. I'm nobody. How be it, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. Okay, since they say they are bold, they are very courageous. Okay, I am bold also. But they are bold in what? Very courageous in the sense of confronting the Apostle Paul and all other people who go against them. But with respect to the Apostle Paul says, yes, I am brave. Right? He says, I speak foolishly. Okay? Normally, he will not talk about his own courage. But now he has to, right? And this is courage in the Lord. Courage with respect to what? Courage with confronting suffering. Now, please don't, because of that, go about boasting all the kind of things that you suffer, okay? No, this is just because he wants to contrast himself with respect to the false apostles who obviously have not gone through the same kind of experience as he did for the Lord. So, what are the things that he boasts? Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. So this one we have gone through, we accepted. Now next, are they ministers of Christ? Well, they claim that they are servants of Christ, right? I speak as a fool. Okay, so I speak as a fool. I am more. So when he says I am more, it's not because he really wanted to say that I'm much more a servant of Christ than them. Okay, understand this. It's because in this particular context, because they are false and he is true, so therefore, in that particular sense, he is definitely much more a servant of Christ as them. But in what sense can you see this to be true with respect to the Apostle Paul? Because in terms of labors, he is more abundant. In other words, these false teachers, they are very lazy. Yeah, lazy. When you call them to do certain work and they regard this kind of work as menial or something they don't like, they don't want to do. Right? Because in the first place, they are there in the religion for what? They are there in the religion for comfort, for money, for power, for authority. So you ask me to do something that is menial, which I don't agree, or for example, at 3 a.m. somebody called, bruh, 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 can you please come? I have an emergency at home. Okay, what is the emergency? My father has just died. Can you come and minister to me? sorry lah, 3 a.m. lah, just a little bit, just let me sleep for 3 more hours, 6 a.m. or so I go, okay? Oh, I have so many things to prepare. No, the next day I have 5 messages. No, so why you want to ask me to come down now? Go. The Apostle Paul, is he in labors more abundant? Very hard worker. Everywhere he go, 24 hours for the Lord. These false teachers sleeping until maybe Sunday come and then preach one message. And then after that go back to sleep. So in labors, he labored more. Understand though, when he say all this, so this is not to give credential to any one of us to go about saying, hey, you see, I'm very hardworking, that person very lazy. Please, don't do that, okay? I'm very scared that when all these passages are read, you all misunderstand and misapply. No, only in regards to the false teachers. He is forced to contrast, okay? So labors, yes, indeed more abundant. In stripes above measures. And later he will talk about his stripes, okay? And take note, when it comes to all these stripes, the kind of things that they used to whack prisoners in those days are not like the kind of things that we have today, okay? The kind of things we have today is also no joke, right? I heard that if you go prison, I heard that these people, they are trained so that they can whack so close to... all the stripes so close to each other that it will be very painful. Not exactly, but close to each other. Well, I do not know how they do it. Some claim that, some come and told me that it is, that there's also a machine that can do it. So I do not know which one is true. Okay, maybe somebody next time go and work in prisons, come back, can tell us what is true. But even then, they whack and then they put a chemical so that when they whack, the wound cannot close very fast. So it's very, very painful. Right? That is today's context. But in those days, worse, when they use something to whack you, those things, they have sharp barbs, they have hooks, whereby you hook in your flesh, and then when you wipe, and then when they take out, all your meat comes out, all the blood goes flowing. So it's no joke when you get whacked in those days, right? All these stripes. Stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often, right? Did all these four teachers go to the prison because of the Lord? They didn't. They are in all their ivory towers, all their comfort palaces. Did they face the threat of death? No. So now he's going to talk about this more. Okay, exactly what happened. Of the Jews, 5 stripes receive I, 5 times receive I, 40 stripes saved one. Of the Jews, okay? So, last time I used to think that 5 times he received 40 stripes saved one. Then only recently I realized, oh, maybe he may have received more, no? Because this is only counting who? Counting those he received at the hand of the Jews, no? Maybe did he receive any from the hands of the Gentiles? We do not know. Perhaps not, because he was a Roman citizen. Then Roman citizen, they are expected to be treated well. But then I remember there is a passage in Acts chapter 16, I believe, right, where he was treated very roughly in Philippi, remember? And then after that, as he was about to go to Philippi, then he report to them, I am a Roman citizen, and then the people become very worried, oh, this is a Roman citizen, what did we do to this Paul and Silas? They are Roman citizens. Because Roman citizens are not supposed to receive this kind of treatment. Okay? So that's why mainly the Jews, but could under the Gentiles, because Paul did not say he was a Roman citizen, could he have suffered all these things? We don't know. But at least Jews, 5 times. 5 times already, no joke. No. 5 times, 40 stripes save one. Why do they normally hit 40 stripes save one, 39? So that in case you miscount, you will still receive 40. 39, they count it as mercy. Right, so 39. So in case miscount, you receive 40. 40 is still what you deserve. Okay? So 40 stripes save one. Okay? 5 times. Wow, 5 times. No, cannot imagine. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Okay, so there were another 3 more times was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Right? Thrice I suffered shipwreck. I don't think you want to go through a shipwreck. Okay, it's not very nice, right? If not, you go and read about Titanic, what happened. Don't. It's something we cannot imagine, because the only kind of ship that we have been on, firstly, in the ship is already very scary already, you know, the kind of waves and winds when they blow in the storm is very scary enough. And the kind of ship in those days, they were not very stable ships. They were subjected to the winds and the waves. Now for us today, the only kind of ship we think is Star Cruise. No, not Star Cruise, please. Okay, and then some more shipwreck, thrice. A night and a day I have suffered, I've been in the deep. Right, this deep will refer to the ocean deep. So did he really plunge into the deep of the ocean? Well, perhaps. But since it's a night and a day, perhaps it refers to how he went to the ocean deep and then come out, and then he had to be marooned out in the sea for a night and a day. Okay? In journeyings often, right, he traveled very often. So who are the Ebenezer young people? Okay, they are doing hermeneutics, right? Okay, maybe one of you, right? One, not everyone, one of you. You're going to decide which one, okay? This free assignment, give your idea, because they are supposed to have assignment, optional assignment to do before they come for the next hermeneutics class, right? How Bible jog help you in the understanding of the Bible, right? So this word journeyings, okay? One of you go and do an assignment, find out approximately how far the Apostle Paul has journeyed on the first, second, and third missionary journey, and then you go and calculate total how much, okay? Can? Use a Bible atlas, use the internet or whatever to help you. Can I? So you'll decide which one take up the assignment, okay? Whether it's Rachel's group or whether it's Pohau's group. Okay, maybe Rachel and Pohau decide which group take up first. Okay, and then after that, you'll assign one person. So how to decide between the two? Draw lots. Is it? Okay, I don't know. I leave it. One of you go and check. Okay, how far you travel? And then after that, report. Can? Okay, definitely not just walk up and down Singapore 5 times. That is too short. And then the journeys, of course, is not on flat land, mountainous areas, very treacherous places, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. See, got robbers, right? Not like in Singapore, you walk about very safe. And then even then, in Singapore, very safe, we are reminded, low crime doesn't mean no crime, right? Well, in those days, in those places, definitely not low crime. High crime. And so oftentimes, in danger of being robbed. And these are not thieves, no, these are robbers, no, robbers, right? The word used here is robbers, are not thieves, huh? Robbers are people who will commit violence, they may even kill, even to take your items. Okay, so understand this. In perils by my own countrymen, so the Jews, they will persecute him. In perils by the heathen, the Gentiles, they also persecute him, they want to kill him. When he goes to inside the city, he fear for his life, right? Very hazardous. In perils, in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. See, so he go to his own countrymen, he got trouble. He go to the Gentiles, he also get trouble. Inside the city, also get trouble. In rural areas, desolate areas, also got trouble. So it's just like in Singapore context, you go to the CBD, you also got trouble. You go to Choa Chu Kang Cemetery, you also got trouble. That's the only rural place I can think of in Singapore. Or Lim Chu Kang exercise area, also got trouble. Right? And then what? In the sea also got trouble. So you talk about land, right? Land got trouble. Okay, so go to the sea, also got trouble. Then when you come to the church, thinking that he can find comfort, also there are false brethren. Well, everywhere also trouble. You want this kind of life? Well, that's the life of the Apostle Paul. That's the credentials of the apostle. Right? You call yourself apostle, you want this high office, high title, the demand is also very high. That's why he's an apostle. Right? People think, well, apostle, good life. Apostles. This kind of suffering, right? The higher the office, the higher the suffering, right? So he suffered. So in weariness and painfulness, or toil and labor until to the point of pain, well, oftentimes it will be like this. In watchings, often, right? So watchings here will refer to times where he cannot sleep. Possibly he has to be watchful, because anytime there may be threats to his life, so he has to remain awake, right? In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, well, not even clothes. And when you don't have clothes and then it's winter time, wow, it's really suffering. You don't want that to happen. And besides those things that are without, right, that means all those things that are before, outside, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, besides all these things, I still have to be concerned with how the churches are running. Not church, churches. Well, you ask anybody who is a pastor, I think you just ask, next time Reverend Quek, you come and ask him, how is life in, you know, as a pastor of of one congregation, well, he would say, well, already a headache. Apostle Paul, churches, plural. At Corinthian church being one of those churches. They still have Ephesus, right, before handed over to Timothy, then you have Philippi, right? All these kind of churches. You have to handle the all this toy and the care. So, who wants to be an apostle now? True apostle. I think none of us want to be. You all want to go through this? You ask me, I also don't want. I scared. Right? We don't want. And so in application, right? If you say that you're called into a full-time ministry, you know, recently there was one young person who came to me and then said, I'm thinking of entering into the full-time ministry. How to respond? Now, some people will respond by saying, very good, come in. I think it is the duty of anyone who is in the full-time ministry, and then when people say they want to come in, to also inform them of the reality. Now, reality is, are there any prospects in the ministry? No. No prospect, but in fact, ministry is very hazardous, right? All these are hazards. Perils, 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 perils. How many times the word perils? Very hazardous. So are you prepared to suffer? Then you come. But at the same time, balance, okay? Yeah, so you know, if a person comes, you have to tell them, this is the truth. Are you prepared? Then you come. But at the same time, please also don't just take this text in isolation and say, well, life in ministry very miserable. No, you read a lot of passages written by the Apostle Paul. Also, life in ministry also full of joy. The highest joys and the highest suffering. That is the truth of the full-time ministry of the Word. So therefore, in Tabernacle, is there anyone who next time will be called into the full-time ministry? Well, we do not know. But if I say you receive the call, please remember this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay? You have to be prepared for this kind of life. Of course, it doesn't mean that all of us will have to undergo the same type of life. Everyone is different. But there must be in this heart to be prepared. If the Lord asks me to suffer, I must be willing. Because this is the credential of someone who is a true servant. Someone who is a true apostle. Because the false apostles, they will not have this kind of life. Suffering, what suffering? Life of comfort. Life of comfort. There was one senior person in the FEBC, and then a few students were seated around this senior person, and then the person was sharing. And then, you know, and then I happened to be there. Initially, when I was there, I was still quite blur student in FEBC, so entering. And then this person was sharing, and then he just pointed to this person. You will suffer, okay? You want to be true, you will suffer. Oh, at the time, I was like, wow, what is this, man? How come this person so fierce? Oh, suffer. And all the students after that were all very gloomy. I couldn't understand. But now, you know, reading passages like this, I think beginning to understand a little, just a little bit more. Because if you look, those who are false, they were usually, right, you look at the false teachers in Singapore, right? One has what? Sentosa Cove, right? Sentosa Cove. You walk there. Well, those are not just worth 1 million. I heard worth how many millions? Few millions at least. Maybe someone in the property line can share with me later how much all these properties in the Sentosa near the Sentosa area they are. How much they are worth and how big they are. They will live a life of luxury. Who will live a life like the Apostle Paul down here? And so understand this, okay? So, and therefore the Apostle Paul in verse 29 concludes, who is weak? And I am not weak? Right? Who is offended and I burn not? Right? In other words, right, this is the toy that is taken of me. If anybody has a weakness in terms of the body, and if anybody, you know, is oftentimes offended, I have to go through all this. And so the Apostle Paul concludes verse 30. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. And that will refer to what he has said before, right? The all the various troubles and weaknesses he has to go through. And even and then later on also, right, he will mention about this thorn in the flesh and the purpose of this thorn in the flesh. So bear this in mind. And the reason why he does this is because, right, in the weakness of man, you realize God will be glorified. In fact, one of the if you study the theology of the scriptures with regards to sickness, right, sickness, sometimes they are sent into our life to you know, because we sin against the Lord. And that is true. Right? But not all the time is sent into our life because we sin against the Lord. Right? And so you have Job, right, the people came, and then you remember he has all this kind of a sickness on his body, all the boils, and they can be smelled from meters away. And then he was suffering, and all his three friends comes, and then they try to convince him that, oh, you know, you are in this state because you have sinned against the Lord. And then they keep telling him, and then Job keep insisting, I've not sinned against the Lord. Right. So from passages like this, we know that not all the time when a person is sick or when a person has some kind of weakness, it is because of sin. Right. Remember, there's also another incident of the blind man, where the people come and then the Lord Jesus Christ had to tell them, no, this man is blind not because of the sin of the parents or not because of anything, simply because it's for the glory of God. At the end of that particular miracle, the Lord demonstrated his glory. Right? Same with regards to the weakness of man. Right? When man is weak, and yet at the same time, at the end of it, God's work still progress. The only conclusion you can draw from it is all the work of the Lord. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul is trying to boast about here at the end. When he shared all his credentials, you see, when he shared all these credentials, in the end, it leads to the Lord being exalted. Right? If a person shared all these credentials, all the things that he's done, in the end, it leads to the man being exalted, then it's a big problem. So never share credentials in such a way that in the end, you are exalted and the Lord is put down. In this particular case, the Apostle Paul shares his credentials. And he's very careful how he shares his credentials and what credentials he shares. And then in the end, the Lord is glorified. Right? So the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. So when I talk about all these things, you will say, what is the proof? You know, sometimes people is like that. When you share even the true things, people will always say, what is the proof? What is the proof? What is the proof? These are people who will never want to accept anything that is said. If they are really dead against you, sometimes that is what will happen. It's just like, for example, there are some people who sit and then there is God's word being preached. They know that the application of God's word is correct. But then they will keep going about and then they will keep saying, you know, I want more proof, more proof, more proof from God's word. After a while, now sometimes it is true. Sometimes a person may demand more proof, more examples to be given because the person wants to be very careful in terms of the application of God's word. A person, in fact, can be very humble in this case. No, I just want to be very careful, to be very sure that before I make this application that is truly from the teaching of God's word. But sometimes it can be the other way, whereby the application is very obvious already from God's word. And then it has been proven many times, many, 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 many different examples. But at the end of it, the person still says, I want more proof. What more proof do you need? Don't need any more. The only thing is the heart is slow to obey. Same with regards to all these false teachers also. I mean, all these things can be seen in the apostle's life. And if you want, you can go everywhere and then gather all these testimonies. Sure, there will be testimonies here and there, and it can be proven. But these false teachers, they will not simply accept it. They will just simply say, this is false. What to do? But this is life. But you, Corinthian Christians, you should know that I lie not with regards to all these things. All these things written, they are true. They are true. And it's all to the glory of God, not for men. And then, verse 32 to verse 33, one last incident. And this incident is going to be important in what we are going to cover next week. So perhaps I will stop here because it is already 6:20, and then God willing, when we come back the next week, when we look at 32 and 33, we will see why of all the examples of Paul's suffering, he chose to talk about this Damascus incident that he went through. To give a clue, it has to do with the lowering of the basket. Okay? So why has the lowering of the basket got to do with what is going to happen later on? We will see. Okay? I'd like to ask now Brother Isaac to close us in prayer. Brother Isaac, please.